This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Verse 4 says this, that there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city or the people of God. The holy place of his tabernacle of the Most High. The people of God is the holy place of his tabernacle. God dwells in his people. New Testament, he dwells in us. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. The reason that we can be stabilized under pressure and under stress and in problems is because God is in our midst. He's in us. He's in our midst as a church, as a group. He's in our midst of our physical bodies. He's in us. And we are immovable. God shall help her, the church, and in this case, the nation of Israel, just at the break of dawn. Then he says, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Behold the works of the Lord who have made desolate and who made desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Real chariots of fire. He burns the chariots in the fire. And be still, you know this verse, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, this psalm is written by the chief musician and sung by the sons of Korah. Korah was that guy that rebelled against Moses back in the day, and the earth swallowed them up, if you remember the story, him and many others. There were a few descendants from Korah who later became appointed by David in 1 Chronicles to be the choir in the temple. They were to be the choir. These are the boys singing in the choir. And pretty much it was a men's choir. They didn't have ladies singing in the choir, although the girls did backup work, Psalm 68. They did backup work and they did tambourining. They handled the tambourines and the backup. But the men sang in the choir, and it was a men's choir, and they were told in this particular psalm to sing in what's called Alamoth, A-L-A-M-O-T-H. Some of your Bibles will have that right at the beginning of the psalm. It says, sung in Alamoth. Alamoth means like the young girls. So he's telling the guys to sing with voices that sound like the young maidens, which is the beginning of falsetto back in the day. Pastor Jeff has mastered falsetto in his music, but he's got a great falsetto going. But it's to sing with a high, high pitch, as guys can do. And the women did the backup and the tambourine work. This was a song of praise, denoting how God gave them victory over their enemies. Now, in this particular case, there was an Assyrian king, and you've known this story because we've gone over it before. There was an Assyrian king named Sennacherib who invaded Judah, demanding tribute or taxes from them. He invaded the nation of Judah to the south. Israel was to the north. Both were Israel, but the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Judah was the southern kingdom, and he invaded Judah, and he wanted tribute from them. He wanted them to pay him enormous amounts of money and grain and cattle and so forth as tribute to the conquering nation. Hezekiah was the king in Judah at the time, and he refused. Now, 46 cities and villages had fallen to Sennacherib and his invading army of Assyrians. 46 of them had already failed to withhold this advancing army. Jerusalem was next. Jerusalem was next. Hezekiah would not surrender. Hezekiah got together with a prophet named Isaiah, and they prayed. And you can read about that in Isaiah 37 and 36 and 37, those two chapters. You'll find the relationship between Hezekiah and Isaiah. They were prayer partners. And they prayed and they prayed about what to do, and the word of the Lord was, do not surrender. God will come through for you. That was the promise he had from the prophet Isaiah. So Hezekiah built a conduit, a pipeline. And it was 1,750 feet long. And it went through solid stone. So he had a pipe that went through solid stone. And that pipe fed the city with water. Because when the enemy comes, he besieges the city. He surrounds the city. And he prevents food and water from entering the gates. And so he doesn't even have to throw one spear. He just surrounds the city and waits for the thirst and the hunger to drive the people out of the city and make them surrender. That's called besieging the city. So when the Assyrians would come, they would surround the city. They would stop all water and all food from entering into the city. And so eventually the gates would open and thirsty, hungry people would come out and surrender. That was the plan. But Hezekiah prepared for war. He prepared for this war by making a secret pipeline under the earth that went through solid stone that connected to an underground spring of water and brought water into the city. Hezekiah did this, and Sennacherib would not know anything about it. He would not know that the city of Jerusalem had a secret supply of water that fed them. And so when the time came, thousands of troops surrounded the city. And the Assyrians way outnumbered the Israelites. And they surrounded Jerusalem and sent regular messages every day to the city gates announcing that you have no chance of winning. You're going to die if you don't surrender. We way outnumber you. We will kill you. We will crush you. Resistance is futile. Whatever they said, they were there just to discourage the people. And the people would have gotten discouraged had not Hezekiah preached. And 2 Chronicles goes into his preaching and how he encouraged the people with his words. And the people took his words to heart and they were encouraged. And they believed the promises that were given to them by Isaiah the prophet, that God would come through for them. So Jerusalem is being besieged. They have the secret supply of water, so they're in pretty good shape. They've taken in a lot of food and stored it in the city, so they can last a long time. Sennacherib doesn't realize that. So now we have the besieging takes place. The Assyrians surround the city, and they besieged it for 2 years. 2 years the Assyrians were out there outside the gates, and you couldn't leave the city. Because if you did, you would be killed, or certainly captured. Now remember, God could have defeated the Assyrians in the first day they showed up. He didn't have to wait two years. He could have defeated them on day one when they first showed up. But he waited 2 whole years. He made his people wait 2 years for deliverance when he could have done it like that, on day one, which is when we would like him to do things, on day one. But he waited 2 whole years for it to happen. And this, of course, for us is what we learned in the New Testament to be the trial of our faith. Will we continue to trust God when we don't see anything happening? Will we continue to believe him when we look out the gates and we still see thousands of armed, heavily armed soldiers who want to kill us? Will we still believe him as time goes on, day after day after day, and nothing seems to be changing? Will we still believe him? That's the trial of your faith. 1 Peter 1:7. Also 1 Peter 4:12. The trial of your faith. could have defeated him, but he preferred that they waited upon the Lord. You know the verse 40:31 of Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord. He preferred that they waited the 2 years before he delivered them. And his scheduling, his timing, all of that is in his hands, not ours. As I said, we would have scheduled it for right now. Deliver us. Change it today. But he has a different plan in view. So Psalm 31:15 says the times or our schedule of things that happen in our life are in his hands, not in our hands. And it's his play to call. So Sennacherib was waiting for the thirst and the hunger to drive them out of the gates, but it did not happen, and he did not know that they had a secret water supply that sustained them. Now you can get a little bit about the psalm that we were reading. There is a river whose streams thereof make glad the city of God. You can see a little bit of where the psalm is coming from. Now the water supply, when it came into the city of Jerusalem, it was brought to a pool. They dug out a pool, and that pool was called Siloam, S-I-L-O-A-M. You may recognize the name. It was mentioned in the New Testament. Siloam, which literally means to be sent. And they viewed the water as that water which was sent by God to sustain them during this time of besiegement. God sent us his supply. He sent us his provision, and that provision sustains us and allows us to continue strong and courageously, even though we're being surrounded by enemies on every side. God sent us his provision. And that's what the word Siloam means, to be sent. And God sustained them with this secret water supply that came from the river. And in the New Testament, Jesus, when he dealt with a man who was blind, told him to go wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam and that he might receive his sight. Go and wash yourself in the pool of God's provision. And as you continue to do that, and of course, when we look at the water, we think of the Word of God. The Word of God is our provision. We wash our eyes in the Word of God, so that we can see things the way God sees them, so we can have divine perspective, so we can see ourselves the way God sees us and not look at ourselves with self-condemnation, so we can see things and have the biblical perspective on life instead of a secular perspective on life, which only has temporal values. But we have a biblical perspective and we have eternal values. We see things from God's point of view, what's really important in life. And not all the superficial nonsense that the world tries to promote, but the true values, the things that are really important in life, we get to see them because we get to wash our eyes in God's river. We get to see it. So Jesus used the river. Likewise, as for the believer, he's surrounded with enemies who want to use the believer's desperate needs in his life. He wants to use your need for money, your need for pleasure, your need for companionship, your need for all these things in life that we think we need, maybe you do need, but he wants to use those needs.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Good Country homestyle cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant, your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and